The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Okay, hi everybody, and welcome to our Science of Triangles continuation. We're working in the book Esoteric Astrology, so naturally there'll be quite a bit of that as we move along. And when we're finished with this, I don't know quite when it will be. It won't be before a year, I think. The Starling Hunter has collected quite a few compilations on other triangles that we can study from the academic point of view. When you think about it, DK has a lot of association with the third ray, and of course, he tells us there's something atmic in his triad. Now, the group of triads, if I can maybe put it like that. Okay, let's see if I can get this straight. Aha, right. This is what it would be, and I'm just looking, there it is. Okay. This group of triads, I'll make it bigger, are lives which are connected with the atmic plane, the third ray in the color green. And it's the force of mind, the Jnana Shakti. And we know that Master DK, although a second ray master for all intents and purposes, has a lot of the acute energy of divine mental perception on the third ray. And not only that, but the first ray, something on the first ray in his triad. So he seems to combine them all. So we're working here with the triple flowers, the lesser builders, the triple flowers, and they give us the vehicles of the spiritual triad. Now, why am I saying all this? It's a good question. I can get a little bit lost in thought here, but the triangle is the symbol of this group of triads, the lesser builders, and it's also much connected with Master DK, and it's much connected with the third ray and with knowledge in general. So, you know, what I'm trying to offer you, and I generally do offer that kind of thing, is a blend of the second and the third ray. And I think, you know, to a large extent, that is what Master DK offers as well. But, you know, plus many other things, you know, the driving force of the first ray when he says, better whip those vehicles into shape, you know. So we have quite a challenge ahead of us. And we'll be studying what it is that makes a planet sacred, namely the triangularization of the etheric body. And then eventually, when things have gone far enough, we have something we call, you know, the encirclement, or the, what can I call it? It's a series of interlocked circles that characterize the etheric body of the sun and probably many other stars of its kind. Probably there are some more primitive stars in which the transition is going on between the triangle and the circle, just like on our relatively primitive planet, not a sacred planet, the transition is going on between squares and the triangles. You know, I think Master DK owes a lot to Pythagoras, you know, the former Master KH, who, I think, who was the one who taught him to esoterically bisect the square into two triangles. And now he certainly is representing that that particular approach to redemption of humanity and redemption of the planet. When this is when our work is over here for today, then since we did not have in the morning, as we usually would, since the full moon was so late, you know, and we sometimes pass by the full moon when, it passed by other things when the full moon is active, we will have a little meditation on the triangles, also from the practical perspective. And then at, now it's 5 p.m. right now, GMT, roughly, and at 7:30 p.m. GMT, we'll go into the sacred pentagram work, and that will be a broadcast, not a webinar like this one. So you all know our one broadcast live link by now, I think, and if you want to join us for that sacred pentagram presentation that Tuya will give, a little meditation, then please do come on at 7:30 GMT. Meanwhile, we are in the outflow of the sign Cancer, building a lighted house, the foundation for the inner energies, and making sure that, well, you know, that the house is no longer opaque. It's really lighted, which means it's translucent, which means that the light can come through it. And eventually, if we work in the right way, we will have still another step. We will have transparency. But that's, you know, that's a ways away, and requires an entirely selfless attitude, where one is purely a channel for the inner forces, which must be directed into the outer worlds in order to fulfill the divine plan. The elimination of selfishness, you know, it's quite a thing, but when we finally realize that everything we thought we were was a mistaken notion, you know, a mistaken identity, or a, let's just say a very, very partial identity, then it's going to become easier and easier for us to become transparent to the divine plan and the divine purpose. And then we'll really be working with the hierarchy and forces beyond. So, you know, just like to welcome you here, you know, as I say, I do that in the beginning, but then as you begin to join a little bit later, I can't deviate. So so I just want to say hi to Anne and Anne-Marie and Annette and Antoinette, Barbara, Brennan, Helen, Karen, Lona, Mariana, Mariut, Natnia, Nienke, Rose, Tuya's here too. We'll get you over onto the other side. Winnie and Zenaide and Zipporah and Anne Veronica. And helping us, of course, on staff, faithfully supportive, we have BL Joe and Michael Stacy, whom I just have to thank for, you know, kind of getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning when we have these morning sessions and abiding with us in the wee hours there in Ohio. So I guess all of our team has had that kind of experience, but lately it's Michael, and he makes sure that I don't do anything terribly foolish. But, you know, that's a very, very hard task. Okay. So let's see here. Let me just say that we can pull together a little silence. And the realization that, you know, we really are together thanks to the internet, and eventually using telepathy eventually, but right now the internet is just fine. We're working behind the scenes to affect the outer circumstances. We're working more and more on a causative level, and the esotericist always does work on a causative level. That doesn't mean that we're securely anchored in our causal body, maybe not quite yet, but we will be. DK says it's a very desirable meditative objective, and a lot cannot be done until that is done, to anchor within the causal body. And I would suggest using the creative imagination, placing oneself in the midst of all those open and opening petals in order to do that. So we're, you know, an inner team working behind the scenes. I remember when I was younger, I never could understand quite, because I was an activist, you know, and out there on the outer planes and doing something, you know, how one could accomplish much of anything if one was, quote, just meditating. And of course, DK also advises us that we have to do more than simply meditate. But more and more I see it, and the hierarchy is meditating with our higher mind and our egoic lotus and accomplishing a great deal with us. And as I've often said, probably not so many of us have had the experience of Master DK, let us say, walking into a room where we happen to be sitting one fine Sunday morning while everybody is away at church. Well, that happened, you know, to Alice Bailey when she was a young woman, and it was Master K.H. But most of, you know, the influence of the Masters has been behind the scenes for us, and yet it's very powerful. So we want to work with the human beings we can reach also from behind the scenes and in a powerful esoteric manner, if we can do that. And I think we increasingly, we can do that. So we'll try to understand a few things here. We're dealing with constellations, greater constellations, and then we'll get into our meditation. Okay, so we're here, we're going to be starting 466 in esoteric astrology, but we remember what we're looking at here, how the three super constellations forming a triangle are working through other lesser constellations, but they're not really so lesser. They actually are part of the heart in the head center within our supercosmic logos. You know, we call that being the one about whom naught may be said. And there is that triangle, at least how I interpret it, is a picture of that particular being that has within it our local constellations, such as the Great Bear and the Little Bear and Orion and the Dragon and our local constellation, and maybe to some extent Sirius, considered as a constellation. Quite often it is the Little Bear that is substituted for Sirius, and Sirius is considered kind of a blind for that Little Bear, which has in it the great star of direction, as far as our planet is concerned, Polaris. So it's not an insignificant constellation, and it has to do with the sun aspect, some aspect of the local cosmic Christ, just the way Sirius does, and probably Orion too. Well, is it necessary to learn a little bit of astronomy? I would say it doesn't hurt. And, you know, we find when Tuya's doing the full moon presentation, she brings in some of these additional constellations about which we should know something. We won't know everything, but at least we'll get a bigger picture of the arrangement, local arrangement, which is many light years vast, in which we are immersed. So this big macrocosmic picture here on page 344 of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, this is maybe, you know, one of the biggest ones that he gives. And maybe, you know, this other one called a cosmic parabrahm, if I can get there, is also very, it's a big one. I don't know how high that goes, but probably about the same vibrational height as the chart on 344, but there's so much beyond that. So just allow your abstract mind to begin to expand. That's our job for the next 2,000 years. It's not so much the intuition per se, although that helps. It's the cultivation of the abstract mind during the sixth subrace of the fifth root race. Okay, now, let's, welcoming a few other people, and I think Helen, Catherine, and here I am doing the very thing that I said I wouldn't do, but anyway, I can't pick you all out, but welcome to this work. Now, let's go over here. And the six constellations, this is, I'm doing a little segue here. The six constellations, these, Cancer, Capricorn, Gemini, Sagittarius, Aries, Libra, aid greatly in the development of self-consciousness. That's always the first step, the middle step of Leo in a way, or maybe it's the lowest step of Leo, and later of the spiritual consciousness in man, soul consciousness and monadic consciousness in the man who has succeeded in reaching the point of reorientation upon the great wheel. And as I've tried to explain, at least in my impression, that happens when you're opening the fifth petal. A lot of drama occurs in that fifth petal because it's a Scorpio petal as well as a Leo petal. So those two signs are very interestingly related as kind of Scorpio is staging the death of lower Leo. So when do we begin to reverse that? When our tower has fallen, the tower of egotism, somewhere in the middle of the fifth petal, it all comes crashing down, and that card in the tarot, the blasted tower, whatever it is, the falling tower, becomes a reality in our life, and then we're ready to pick up the pieces and begin more humbly on the path of aspiration. So this is not so much about the ordinary man, right? I deal with the influences and with those determining energies which pour upon the man who is on the path of return. He's got to be at least an aspirant, right? And by the end of the fifth petal, and when it is fully unfolded, you have entered the kingdom of wisdom, the hall of wisdom, and you are an initiate of the first degree, which is no small matter. Not really, no. We sometimes say, oh, well, you know, the first degree, everybody's done that, but it's not so. And there was one man in particular who was very helpful to the Tibetan and Alice Bailey in the financial sense, and he had not even taken the first degree, but was guarded as an accepted disciple because of his beneficence and helpfulness, and to protect him, you know, from himself, because he had almost stepped onto the left-hand path in the previous life. A lot of interesting things. So he says, I deal with the influences and with those determining energies which pour upon the man who is on the path of return to the center of his life. That's the monad, of course, and that's pure being. And therefore, with the final three stages of the path of evolution, that comes first and it lasts millions of years. So we have the probationary path. We have the path of discipleship and accepted discipleship. And finally, the path of initiation. Those are the three he's talking about. Then, you know, we did a little work here on the Cancer Capricorn Saturn. You've got to get your Saturn in order before Venus becomes the possible ruler of the initiatory sign Capricorn. And Venus is very important in Cancer too. There is a triangle, a high triangle, called Pleiades, Cancer, Venus. But Saturn sets up your approach to Venus, and you pay the karma and balance things out and achieve a degree of harmony. The law of karma is meant to establish harmony and love among the members of the human race and also among the kingdoms of nature. So it's Cancer, Capricorn, and Saturn that allow us to tread the path of purification or probation. And maybe some of us are on the latter part of that. Certainly, if we develop the attitude that we're already as pure as can be, that's already an impurity. That kind of thought is an impurity. Lots of testing going on in order to make the mundane holy, as it is said of the scorcher, which is Sirius. So these energies coming from Sirius, they're focusing the Great Lodge of the Most High. And from a certain perspective, although Sanat Kumara is called the Most High, the Great Lodge on Sirius, whether it's the Great White Lodge or the Blue Lodge, differently called, that is really the Most High, at least in terms of our lodge discussion in relation to Masonry. The Great Lodge of the Most High in that distant sun. And as I told you, through another planet possibly called Isis, and through Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus, the three synthesizing planets. And that's the path that the Sirian energies take to reach us. So they're very high. And basically, DK told us that we're not going to really feel the Sirian energies until we are initiates of the third degree. However, we do have plenty of work to do with the modification of those Sirian energies, the stepping down of them. They pour through the hierarchy upon the mass of men, the masses, Cancer, right? And enable the unit in that mass to isolate himself. That's Leo. Cancer changes to Leo. The diffuse light of Cancer changes to the brilliantly focused point of individual light in Leo, and have him turn his back upon the past, because Cancer always rules the past and the clinging to the past, and find his way onto that section of the past wherein he learns to feel. So, you know, it's interesting. One of the key words of Leo is sensitivity, and the star Sirius is called the brilliant star of sensitivity. Well, now we're ready, but here, this is just a little bit more, and then we're ready to go on to the constellations which rule the path of discipleship, and I think he expresses this pretty much as Pleiades working through Gemini and Sagittarius. Let's see if I have that correct. Pretty sure I do. Yeah, it's going to be Pleiades working through Gemini and Sagittarius and through Mercury, a major planet of humanity and of discipleship, since it's the highest ruler of Scorpio, which is humanity's sign and also the sign of discipleship. All right, so he says, between the stages, I think I have it down here maybe even a little better, between the stages of isolated individuality and isolated unity lies one to which we give the name isolated identity. Maybe you make it just a little bit bigger. This is interesting because, you know, so many of us are still caught in isolated individuality, and we kind of leave it to the masters to know what isolated unity is all about. But as we begin to build the Antikarana and approach the third initiation, this question of isolated unity does begin to come into our minds. And when we're on the path of detecting isness, just the isness of things, the beingness of things, then we're heading into the possibility of isolated unity. So between isolated individuality and isolated unity lies one to which the name of isolated identity is given. It is with this stage we are concerned and its esoteric implications, because, you know, a lot of disciples are working on this isolated identity. Isolated unity describes the stage which the master has reached, the fifth initiation, and you can see it's very Leo, it's the number five, it has to do with the true identity, you know. And then isolated individuality is that of the disciple, just struggling along and learning what our individuality may be. Isolated identity with the soul is that of the disciple up to and including the third initiation. So some of the head centers have to be activated in order to achieve this. And between the stages of isolated individuality and isolated unity, lies the one to which we give the name, isolated identity. Okay, I guess I've repeated that. I've copied it more than once. But anyway, you get the idea. And I suppose the question comes up, you know, what are you working on? Are you an aspirant now and then making the effort to be on the beam and to focus in the mind held steady in the light, but oftentimes the victim of inconsistencies and ups and downs and Kamma Manas takes you over? Or are you the disciple with a much stronger mental focus? The mind is held steady in the light. The mind can be isolated from Kamma Manas, you know, and that pretty well takes us from initiation 1, 2, 3. Or are we really identifying as the soul? And that's isolated identity. I mean, so often, you know, we think we are the personality, but maybe somehow we actually get the feeling of the actual identification as the soul, okay? That's highly desirable, and we should almost check in with ourselves every day to make sure that we can find ourselves identified as the soul, because it's so easy to just think, oh, my name is this, I live here, this is what I look like, this is how I feel, this is how I think. Okay, that's true up to a point, but it's not the whole story. So what are we as a soul? Let's get that straighter. Isolated identity. And then, as the monad, the essence of us, the pure isness of us, the pure being of us begins to take over, then the possibility of isolating the unifying effect, the oneness of that pure being comes into focus. And we can begin from the third to the fifth initiation, achieve isolated unity. Now, I don't think it stops there. I think the isolated unity that a sixth or seventh or eighth or ninth degree initiate can achieve is way more than what a fifth degree initiate can achieve. But it's all speculative anyway. These higher states of consciousness, they're very desirable, but they're not desirable if they keep you from fulfilling your karmic tasks. So somehow we need to be able to do both of them at the same time. So the second stage then was Gemini and Sagittarius, and it works for Mercury, and it says it's an expression of the Pleiades. Now, the Pleiades, the great mother aspect, the great in a way, third ray aspect, the hub of the wheel, you might say, the great thousand-petaled lotus, at least symbolically, of our local one about whom naught may be said, has a lot of avenues of expression. I mean, you know, there are probably seven of these ones about whom naught may be said just in our local area. Maybe these others are in other arms of the galaxy. I don't know what they are, but you know, there's seven of these great super cosmic logoi as far as I can see. And they all of them have a unique ray expression. Now, you know, the matter aspect, now notice it's in the third position as you're counting counterclockwise, which is in one way, a spiritual way to count. I had a friend once who, you know, he was so obsessed by not traveling on the left-hand path that every time you did anything clockwise, he would recoil in horror, you know, because it somehow represented to him the swastika and so forth. Anyway, or rather, if you went counterclockwise, it would represent for him the swastika. But we know that the truly esoteric way of passing through the zodiac is, in fact, counterclockwise. So I said to him, hey, just, you know, you're on my side of the circle, just go on the other side, it'll look like exactly what you want, you know. So, you know, all of these question of the sense of direction are very relative, and we can't develop some kind of emotional horror of seeing the swastika, because it's an ancient symbol, far older than Germany's misappropriation of it, right? Maybe a while before it can be used in public anymore because people don't have the esoteric knowledge, but basically it's an ancient and useful symbol. Anyway, our local one about whom naught may be said has many other companions, maybe six other companions. We're not told anything about it, although, we're just not told anything about it. And maybe if we look for local star clusters like the Pleiades, not just asterisms where you have a constellation with a few stars, you know, 10, 20, whatever, but real clusters of stars, we might be looking at the head centers of these local ones about whom not may be said, and between them are all kinds of triangles, naturally, just the way there are triangles between suns in our local cosmic logos. You know, we've got our sun, Alpha Centauri, we've got Sirius, we've got Altair, you know, we have a number of these suns, they all have triangles, and right in our solar system we have that as well, you know, between all these different planets, they're all triangulated with each other, and one day we will all be triangulated with each other as well. So anyway, it's Gemini, Sagittarius, and Mercury, which are the expression of the Pleiades, enable the probationary disciple to pass on to the path of accepted discipleship, you know, and when you let's see, I think, you know, if you go to esoteric astrology, I'm going to do this, you know, trying to link many things here together, right? So if you go to esoteric astrology and you go to page esoteric astrology 71, here it is. Now, we're told that disciples upon the path of discipleship are strongly influenced by Mercury and Saturn, one bringing illumination and the other offering opportunity. We're probably talking about accepted discipleship. Now, you know how it goes. First of all, you have to look at this material and accept it. as a working hypothesis. You become the accepting disciple. First, you're the probationary disciple. Then you're the accepting disciple. And then after that, you know, when Mercury becomes strong enough and you're heading towards the second initiation where you learn really how to control your astral body and fill it with love, you become the accepted disciple. And so Mercury is really involved in this stage of accepted discipleship, and it usually occurs between the first and the second initiation. And that's where the majority of Master DK's students found themselves. They were being accepted onto the path of accepted discipleship and had a relationship direct with Master DK. The relation of the mother aspect. Now remember, the Great Mother is not the moon, not by any means. The moon is simply a failed expression of a deity that is an emanation of our logos of our planetary scheme. And now that deity is working right here on the Earth chain to try to make up for lost time. So anyway, but the Pleiades is the real mother, you know, at least in the local sense. The relationship of the mother aspect embodied in the Pleiades and of the Christ child hidden within the form of the personality. So the Christ child is really the second aspect of the divinity, which is somehow percolated into the personal form, probably through some mechanism within the head and the heart, is realized. Mother and the Christ child. I am the mother and the child. I, God, I, matter, am. It's a very Virgo relationship in a certain sense. It's realized, and the inner spiritual man institutes the process of initial identification with the spiritual entity on its own plane. In other words, there we are, isolated identity. Maybe we should maybe we should put that down. You know, I'll try to do that. Okay, so it's a little difficult sometimes to get this on the right color and do it in the right way, but I'll try it, okay? And there we go, and here we are. Okay, let's see if I've got this correctly done. So, what I want to call this is then isolated identity, and not isolated individuality, and not yet isolated unity. So, you know, how many of us truthfully, honestly, are really, for the majority of our days, as we live through our daily life, are we really identified as the soul? And one of the ways of asking that is, are you working through your heart center, or are you working through your solar plexus center? Because from a certain perspective, the solar plexus center is the moon, and the heart is the sun. And the sun is the soul, and the moon is the personality. So you can evaluate that for yourself. So this is the relation of the mother aspect and the Christ child. And the mother aspect has to be redeemed, has to be lifted up. We call this in Virgo the Assumption of the Virgin. And eventually what it's really all about, as Tuya has often pointed out, the whole earth is the Virgin Mary and has to be lifted up and redeemed by her son, the Christ. It's the second aspect redeeming the first aspect, and eventually the triangle, 1, 2, 3, you know. We have a unique planet of first ray monad, second ray soul, third ray personality. We're the only 1, 2, 3 planet in the whole solar system as far as we know. And that 1, 2, 3-ness is factual and generic at the same time, because the monad is associated with the first aspect, and we have a first ray monad. The soul is associated with the second aspect, and we have a second ray soul, and the personality is generally associated with the third aspect, and we have a third way personality. So it's very interesting, and you can read about that in the later pages of Esoteric Astrology, the whole book. And by the way, you know, you probably know that a few years ago, I went through the entire Esoteric Astrology book, page by page, line by line, word by word, offering you my thoughts. And maybe my thoughts have improved or changed or whatever, but at least at the time, I went through the whole book, and you may find it useful to you in learning esoteric astrology. I know of a couple of people who have really plowed their way through it, and they say they got something out of it. So it may be of use to you. Okay, so now we're identifying as the soul. I always rather would say identifying as something than with it. Because if I say I identify with that, then I've created a duality. But if I identify as that, then I've merged with the other, and there's only a unity. So that's my preference. The little self begins to react consciously and with increasing frequency to the higher self. There's a lot of this Mercury-Gemini interplay, and DK tells us in White Magic toward the end, when we feel all these high and positive currents, our best thoughts and our highest aspirations and inspirations and whatever, that's really, you know, we're lining up with the soul, and it's sending forth, when we're in meditation, especially uplifting forms of energies. Okay, so the interplay, and take a look at Master DK, he's so Geminian. He's so Mercurian in his astrology. Every master has a couple of signs which are unique to him or her. I find basically with Master DK, it's Gemini and Taurus. At least that's how I think of it at the moment. And I believe DK gave the horoscope of Master KH. It was Gemini and Pisces. And I think he gave the horoscope of the Buddha, and it was Taurus and Pisces. And when it comes to the Christ, it's Libra and Pisces. So the sign of the Savior on the path of Earth service is very much there. So the little self begins to react consciously and with increasing frequency to the higher self. The man presses forward upon the path wherein he learns to see. Now, isn't that a Sagittarian statement? He presses forward, and you'll notice so often that sight is associated with Sagittarius. You know, having the keen eye. Even, you know, there are many Sagittarius people who have unusually sharp eyes. They say, hey, what's your, are you 2020? He says, no, I'm 2010. Okay. I mean, that's really remarkably keen-sighted. That doesn't mean that there aren't other Sagittarians who wear glasses and so forth. But sharp eyesight is associated here. So he learns to see. And I, you know, look at the mantra for Sagittarius. I see the goal, I reach that goal, and then I see another. And then seeing is in Gemini too. I recognize, or I see, I recognize my other self. It's sight, isn't it? And in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. So this is all about the path of discipleship. And when DK, there's one place where he tells you, look, if you want to identify the person who's starting out around the first degree, look at the cardinal signs. If you want to identify the true disciple who's into the path of at least what kind of initiation, preliminary initiation, look at the mutable cross. And if you want to identify the initiates, look at the fixed cross. Now, of course, he also reverses himself in other places and makes the cardinal cross the highest and the mutable cross the lowest. I was just talking to you about that. And you have to understand about Master DK that he has this amazing ability to look at things from very many angles and at very many times. And so when there seems to be a contradiction, check out his angle and check out what time he's talking about. So that gives us a little impression of the work of the mother aspect in the life of disciples, and especially as they begin to approach accepted discipleship. How do you know whether you're an accepted disciple? Well, sometime I think what we have to do is study together the six stages of discipleship. Because, you know, it tells you there about the five indicators of accepted discipleship. I can't remember them all, but, you know, what one is kind of a, let's see, it's a dream experience maybe. And then the use, the seeing of the master, or the use of a form that the master provides you in meditation. Another and confirming indication is an interview in the master's ashram during the hours of sleep, you know. So I think there are five of them, and I've mentioned four, but this is the way to test yourself out and see what stage towards acceptance you are. Because when you have accepted discipleship, the master has made a direct link with you. And this is often going to be done in group formation, just the way he practiced doing some time ago with that group of some 51 students or so. Now, going on just a little bit here, I think we can knock this one out too. Maybe the highest is the Aries, Libra, and the Sun, and that Sun is going to veil Vulcan, or maybe from another perspective, Uranus, because Uranus is the hierarchical ruler of Aries and the esoteric ruler of Libra, and it has to do with rays 1 and 7, particularly. So it's the Sun, Vulcan, and the Sun, Uranus, and here we have it. The Great Bear, sometimes called the Cosmic Manu. Stephen Pugh developed that thought, and there's such a strong first ray coming through the Great Bear that I think it was an appropriate name for it. So the Great Bear, which is the source of our seven rays anyway, not the only source, by the way, Aries, Libra, and the Sun. So what does it say here? Aries, Libra, and the Sun, which are an expression of the Great Bear, you know, how the Great Bear stars, particularly the major seven of them, do communicate with the different planetary logoi, and the planetary logoi are not only the students of the solar logos, but they are in a way the students of this great entity that has the place of seven head centers within the head of the one about whom not may be said, our local super cosmic logos. Okay, so Aries, Libra, and the Sun bring about the focusing of energy in the life of a disciple, which makes it possible for him to function consciously and with intention upon the path of initiation. Let's look at the rays that rule these paths, okay? The path of aspiration is ruled by the sixth ray and the fourth ray. The path of discipleship is ruled by the third ray and the fifth ray. The path of initiation is ruled by the first ray and the seventh ray. And the second ray unifies and harmonizes them all. So these are triangles which help us make the transition from average man to the probationer, from the probationer to the accepted disciple, from the accepted disciple to the initiate. So he's entering the realm of the formless worlds, because Aries is the sign of beginnings, and Aries has a lot to do with Shambhala. So eventually this whole initiatic quest is going to be to end temporarily, nothing ends, you know, ends in Shambhala. And we'll be entering the fiery worlds, about which Aries has a tremendous lot to do. Master Moria says, if you want to celebrate me or celebrate my name, do that on March 24th. So it's pretty obvious that Master Mori, among other things, is ruled by the sign Aries and by the sign Leo, the king. Okay, so he enters the realm of the formless worlds because Aries, the sign of beginnings, makes this possible. What are the formless worlds? Well, you know, the formless worlds, for all practical purposes, are these higher four ethers, the cosmic ethers, and everything beyond. But in fact, a form of some kind is found. It's just not the dense forms found in the dense physical body of these different planetary logo. You know, when I look at this computer or lamp or whatever, this is really dense. But there are higher types of forms, which are also forms, which are very subtle. So we have to keep that in mind. So through the potency of Libra, he has succeeded in achieving that point of balance. Notice, you know, when you want to escape something, the point of balance is really good. The point of balance which makes the final escape from the pairs of opposites now possible. What will that mean? Well, you know, we're heading into the realm of transcendence here, aren't we? And the pairs of opposites, as we usually consider them, are soul and personality. So we're not just talking about horizontal pairs of opposites, which might, one might be better than the other or not. Both might be necessary. You can't say hot is better than cold. It all depends. But when you're dealing with soul and personality, you want to escape from that? Then take the fourth initiation and enter the realm of the spirit and the monad. And that will give us escape from the usual pairs of opposites. So he has succeeded in achieving that point of balance, which makes the final escape from the pairs of opposites possible. He now knows through transcended feeling. Now he really, you know, DK elaborates on this very much in esoteric psychology too. He gives some enigmatic statements about how to transcend feeling. Through transcendent feeling and from identification with the seen vision and the true meaning of being. Wow, that's really a statement here. So he's achieved a point of balance in Libra. You know, it's an Aries Libra and the sun. And he's restored to his monadic self eventually. He makes a final escape on the final burning ground, in this case ruled by Uranus. And he now knows through transcended feeling and from identification, which is what we should be working on once we achieve the second degree, and from identification with the seen vision, the true meaning of being. Now we can really ponder on that. So I'll tell you what, there's a lot to come here. And we see the triangles involved, you know, the big triangle of super constellations working through other zodiacal and planetary triangles, two signs or constellations and a planet. So how many, you know, what do we have here? Just on the surface of things, we have four triangles. But once you start to really mix it all up and make connections between various things, you're going to have a lot more triangles than that, okay? So we're just trying to understand something of the cosmic nature of triangles, okay? They are not just very important, of course, that we have our work with ourselves, you know, very important, and our personal triangle of work, very important, but it's a much bigger thing and has to do with the whole field of space, we are told. So, you know, the triangularization of much of the field of space and the, you know, the sphericalization as well. So this is going to be number 43. And correct me if I'm wrong, Michael. And this is the 17th. Of July in 19, And we were working from 466 to wherever we are now, which is probably not a whole lot of distance. It looks like 460. Maybe we never got off of.
You just made it. Yeah, 467, right there.
Wow, a whole page. I'm so proud of us. Okay, alrighty. And we begin the next time, and it's going to be a morning session. And it's going to be on the, I suppose, the 24th of July. We would have gone into Leo by that time, had our ingress. But look, you know, it's not how many pages you cover. It's whether it all really begins to make sense. Because what we're trying to do is tie together in triangular form the certain parts of our planetary scheme. And, you know, you've seen some of those things. They're really, really amazing. And I'm not sure. I think I'm going to have to look at something here. I'm not even sure where it is anymore. Well, it's not, you know, it's not that important, but yeah, if I take 2 years, I don't think it goes. It went far enough. Look at our solar system. It's just filled with squares and triangles, and that's just the beginning. And notice that the heart of every one of those planetary schemes, there are three larger circles arranged in a certain way. And none of it is casual. Every one of it is revealing a secret, an important secret about the planet, planetary scheme that's involved, except for the highest two, which are generic, at least there's a triangle there, but he's not telling us much. And in the same way, we don't know much about what's going on with the development of our head center. And Roberto Saggioli, he asked DK about that, and DK said, well, look, it's a very esoteric matter and not much has been revealed. And then here's our own little scheme, you know, our Earth scheme, and it's just filled with many possible triangles. You really start to look and start to count, and it's going to be an amazing interlocking, with some of the triangles being more important than others, and some of those figures having very deep meaning with respect to the planetary chains. And here's our own planetary chain down here with seven globes and interior larger three, five, and seven. Why is that? So we can talk about that. You know, I think I did in the Cosmic Fire discussions that are on Makara. Actually, they are written things and not spoken things. So, okay. There's a lot of mysteries, and as we work with the science of triangles, we're going to be able to penetrate more into those mysteries. I hardly wonder, you know, DK in a few years is going to be giving out installment number 3. I kind of wonder what kind of job we've done on assimilating installment number 2 and installment number 1 from Blavatsky. Or through Blavatsky. So we have a lot of work cut out for us if we want to be part of the Society of Organized and Illumined Minds. And that's what hierarchy is called, and that's one of our objectives. Okay, so let's see where we are here. I'll just open up the floor, and we can have your thoughts, your questions, your comments. And then we'll have a little meditation, which either I will lead or Tuya will lead. I don't know whom. We'll see. Okay. So, your thoughts. You raise your hand, or you have a question mark, or whatever, you know. And don't be, you know, don't be subdued, because although it seems like a lot of info at first, you know, it will all fit together. This is one method of the Ageless Wisdom. There are many others. you know, related, many others, and the wisdom of the previous solar system in the Kabbalah, as he says, and there's this wisdom, but the wisdom of the first ray is not yet there, but just beginning with Agni Yoga, many different avenues to wisdom. And let's see what interests you, if anything, here. Okay, just like, why am I here? What am I doing on this planet? That'd be a good one. Okay, anybody? Any thoughts? You know, what we've been doing is we've been looking at three paths, right? The path of probation, working through the mass sign and the sign of beginning initiation and the planet of karma, and coming from the scorcher, Sirius, who renders the mundane holy, and who, you know, gives us kind of a tough time. Beautiful planet, beautiful, wonderful planet, so respected, not planet, but star, so respected by the Egyptians, but really, really heavy in what it demands of us. Then we've had this assembly of, I think now they've detected, I don't know, over 800, you know, I think it's the symbolic thousand-petal lotus of this great being. The Pleiades is the hub of the wheel, the great center around which we are said to revolve every 250,000 years, roughly. The real figures are never given to us. And that works out through two signs which have been very instrumental in making a human being out of an animal. Animal man, there once was, but Gemini got into the act with the angels, and Sagittarius got into the act with the aspiring animal man, and Mercury was born, basically, which is the human race. And
Michael,
then there's... Yes?
Rose's hand is now raised.
Okay, I'll just finish here, and then we'll get to Rose. The Great Bear, of course, is the most popular of the asterisms, and it has two signs, which are the equinoctial signs, the equinoxes, and they have a lot to do with changing the shape of everything, namely through Uranus, which is, you know, Uranus is so indebted to the sun that it even bows its head like this. It's kind of halfway through its cyclic journey down to the bottom. So anyway, these are the major energies here involved, and maybe there's something that is of value to us as we consider them. Yeah, go ahead, Rose.
Earlier in the webinar, you were saying that the Tibetan has many triangles, and we're familiar with the triangles work with the Great Invocation. And I was wondering if you were familiar with triangle work that involved goodwill work.
Well, I'm not particularly familiar with it, but I can see that every triangle that he suggests doing has the goodwill energy involved with it. It's, goodwill's love and action, so it's the love triangle reflected as goodwill. So in a way, triangles work is goodwill work when you get the goodwill energy going between whatever triangles you're dealing with. And then the triangles of light. And I think he said that the triangles of light don't have to be explained so much to the man in the street. It's the triangles of goodwill that one should begin with, and then eventually the triangles of will. So I don't, you know, I can see an easy way to put those two things together, because he insists on using goodwill even in the ordinary, usual triangles work. Other than that, I don't know. Do you know something about that?
It seems that there was an earlier program that was you would choose to be either a triangle of light or a triangle of goodwill. And it was all triangle work, but you chose if you wanted to do the Great Invocation as your subjective triangle work, or you wanted to form a triangle of goodwill. And I was just, you know, wondering how that incorporated into the whole Tibetan's program. And that phase of the work seems to have been I don't know, somewhat gone a different path, I think.
Maybe I've not been familiar with it, because the Triangle's work, which I understand he has us do, is Goodwill and Light together. You know, and then when you're visualizing your triangle, you can do the moment of goodwill, you can do the moment of light, and eventually the will to good. But, you know, he says we're pretty far away from that. So I'm not, I don't know if in the Blue Rose Sisterhood we have done that. That would be more for Tuya to answer. But I think we're doing some experiments with triangles of will. Okay. And I don't recall reading anything that said you should choose one or the other, either goodwill or light. But he did say that the people who are just sort of, you know, not really into esotericism and all that, you don't even have to talk too much to them about the triangles of light. The triangles of will, of goodwill, will be enough. And then he also did an esoteric rendition of faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. And he substituted the word light is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. So from my perspective, the light triangles are still pretty esoteric, but can be handled by disciples. And when I do triangles, I do both goodwill and light. That's all I know about it at the moment.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, other thoughts, questions, whatever? Anything that may come to your mind? You know, we have to venture in. We have to be brave with occultism and to be willing to make a lot of mistakes. There's no way around it. You know, we have a mind such as we have, and it's going to be trained and improved by constant meditation and study and work with the Tibetan. We're being shaped up over these couple of hundred years here for real work in the future. You know, maybe by the time we reach the year 2200 or something, you know, we might be ready for something more adventurous if we train properly. Anything? Anything? Any questions about? Okay, Karen, I've got you here. Okay, go ahead, Karen, please.
Yeah, Michael, you said a bit ago about you identify as rather than with, because with is about duality.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So I'm thinking, I've been thinking about that and how I might, maybe you could talk a little bit more about it. I mean,
well,
when
you
say I identify as group.
Yeah, as the group, as the group.
As
you see,
the
it, all, yes, because always there's the observer and the observed. And what we need in the state of contemplation, which is really what identification is all about, is we need the unity of subject and object, the unification of subject and object. So, you know, and I suppose every one of us, I think Alice Bailey did a terrific job in from intellect to intuition when she discussed the art of contemplation. And, you know, she borrowed a lot from Evelyn Underhill, who was a very astute mystical writer, but who said the right kinds of things to show what it was like to really contemplate. So samadhi itself, you know, this sense of being, if I can put it that way, is a high state of contemplation. And what I do, we've got our little identification as being group. It's about time for a third program, and I've been very, very busy this last week preparing the PIP, preparing some explanations about the personal identity profile number 3. I did a 3-hour interpretation of my own chart, my own PIP chart, to show how it might be used. So all of that's being put up somewhere, and BL knows where. Anyway, where is it, BL, if you're still there? It's going up there somewhere.
Yes, it's on the videos that you did, the first one, the 3-hour one, and your sample pip is there on the Moira Federation. If you just go to www.moirafederation.com, you'll see pip 3 there on the top line menu, and you just click on that, and it gives your letter and your instructions and their samples of you know, what the report looks like and everything. And we're still working on editing the smaller instructional videos that you have.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Bill. Well, in other words, in that group, we're trying to do exactly the thing that you're asking about: identify as being. See, and what is being? It's, you know, being is not quality. So you can look and say, oh, this has high quality, low quality, this is different from that, this is different from that. It doesn't make any difference. As long as it is, it's in the realm of being. So we're trying to find a way, when we want to identify as, to enter that substratum, to enter that, what can I call it? You know, it's a substance, in a way, to enter that thing and somehow be underneath and thereby understand, I'm using that word in a technical sense, understand under, every appearance and perception that's possible. The perception is not the thing. The perception isolates differences, but it's possible to have an infusception, as I've developed this idea, of the substratum, and then you can identify as, and the subject and object are united, and you're no different from the substratum that you detect, and in a way, you're no different from anything that you see. Now, that's what we're looking for eventually, and I think it's a long road and very, very subtle road, and, you know, requires the use of the abstract mind and the intuition. But then that's identification as something, and especially the substratum. Subject and object are unified.
Yeah,
so I hope that helps a little bit.
It does, and I understand that. And what I'm thinking that for me to do to help with that is to not to because that's what my understanding is, and that's what my goal is, or what I'm striving for is to be one. Not use that word with, to change the word actually, to consciously use the different word would be helpful to do.
It's the first step to use the word with, but then when you really begin to explore it, you begin to realize that what is required is some kind of fusion between the subject and object. It gets very subtle. And I would recommend, you know, I always say in the heart center, or maybe just in the lower heart center, I'm not quite sure, there's a place that I have isolated in my own energy system. And when I see something and I kind of open that area in my heart chakra, something comes into view which is the same everywhere. Now, maybe other people have ways to do it, you know, like the heart and the head. Maybe right now I'm just working with the heart center. And it really is like the blinking of the dragon's eye. You know what I mean? It's it's just so fast that if you don't catch it, it's gone. But I find, so, you know, I say, see it, open the heart, and then let the sameness appear. See heart same. So that's one of my methods. And I use naught is but me. And look, it's got to be practiced. And it's very subtle. And then identification as will make sense. And identification with will look like an earlier stage.
Yeah, thank you. And just for clarification, because of your discussion with Rose about the goodwill triangles versus the light triangles, that kind of confused me, because I thought triangles are love, will, and light. Love, goodwill, and light. light, love, and will. And so I was confused. I didn't know that there was any real difference or different protocols.
Well, you know, vocation, and if you can do goodwill and light at the same time, because it's love. Goodwill is love in action. So goodwill is love, light is light. And one day, and he makes it not seem like it's an immediate thing, the triangles of the will to good will appear. So if you want to experiment on the will to good, experiment with, you know, a few people and so forth, you can do that. But he does predict the future of it being pretty far ahead, I think. But one day it will be all three, like you say, you know, and it'll be nine. And then that ninefold figure, which is really a 12, will come into being. You know how it is, you got the triangle, and then off of every vertex is another triangle. So it's nine, but it's 12, which is, I think, very interesting in terms of putting numerological systems together. Meanwhile, we try to make it simple. We have goodwill towards our fellow triangles member. We have the illumination of the soul-infusing personality with them, and we say the great invocation and link to the triangles network, and maybe take in some of the higher shambolic things, at least in imagination, like the Buddhas of activity and so forth. And then some people put the Christ in the center of every one of their triangles, and I can think that's a good thing too.
Thank you.
You bet, Karen. Okay. Okay, now, okay. Right. Now, Tuya, would you like to, do you want to say anything about what we've been saying, or do you want to lead that? You know, we didn't do our triangles this morning because we were up till 3 o'clock in the morning with the full moon. So we left you an ongoing message. And there's an ongoing message there right now, that at 7:30 GMT, which is 10:30 our time here in Finland, we're going to have a sacred pentagram continuation for Cancer. You know, we have a little sacred pentagram meditations each time. DK says, look, you can use the 3 day, 5 day, 7 day method, whatever. Hierarchy uses something even much more, uses the whole month up and down. But we use the five-day method, five being the number of the soul from a certain perspective. So are you there, Tuya? Because sometimes our little dogs require attention. And the cats also. I think sometimes we're just raising up the lower kingdoms here in the house. Okay. Well, I'm not seeing Tuya right now. So what I'll do, friends, is just to lead, unless she comes in very quickly. I will lead a little meditation. And just to make up for, you know, this morning's meditation, which didn't quite occur. So, by the way, you know, the triangle, major triangle material there is found, I think, in the Rays and in the Dina Discipleship 2 book. And this is our usual thing. So let's extend our thought, you know, and realize that we're, you know, just a little quiet first. So we're part of a group that is attempting to understand the connections which exist between entity in space. And generally, those connections are either the square, the triangle, or the interlocking circle or sphere. And all kinds of triangles are influencing us at the time of the full moon. We have, Cancer is a third ray sign and a seventh ray sign. And the, third ray comes from a plane where the triangle is the symbol, the triple flower, the fleur-de-lis, So we have triangles of the super constellations. Let's tune in on them for just a moment. The first, the real one, Great Bear, Little Bear, and Pleiades. Can you visualize? They are two of them are circumpolar. You always can see them from a certain place on Earth. Great Bear, Little Bear, and the Pleiades, really important, the hub of the wheel. And then how DK presents it, Great Bear, Sirius, and Pleiades. And then we have all these triangles that bring us the rays. And between the rays, there are triangles, 1, 2, and 3 form a triangle. And eventually, every ray with every ray, 1, 2, 4, 1, 2, 5, 1, 2, 6, 1, 2, 7, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 5, and so forth. Everything is interlocked. All this is going on in space, and the constellations are interlocked. Aries, Leo, Capricorn, we get the first ray. Gemini, Virgo, Pisces, we get the second ray. Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, interlocked. We get the third ray. Taurus, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, we get the fourth ray. See, we can't see those lines that connect those great constellations, but one day from the mountaintop, DK says, we will be the astounded or astonished disciple, and we will see the lines of interconnection. We will look for Leo, Sagittarius, Aquarius, ray 5. We'll look for Virgo, Sagittarius, Pisces, ray 6. And finally, ray 7. We'll look for Aries, Cancer, and Capricorn. And beyond that, many other triangles that we can't really fathom them yet. The triangularization of space is what we're involved in, and basically, practically, the triangularization of our own etheric body. And so if you turn to page 167, 170, 169, 170, Cosmic Fire, you'll see different triangles ruling our etheric body. But always there's going to be one in any life that's most prominent, and what is it for you? So within that context of ever-expanding triangles in space, and eventually sphericalization, within that context, we are here relating to our fellow human beings, and we're sharing with them every day or as often as we can. The energies of goodwill, which is love in action, great solution to so many problems, goodwill, and the energy of light, revelation, illumination, deep understanding of light and form. Form is just condensed light. And not only do we have our own little network, it might be one triangle, it might be 50, you know. But we are linked with the whole network of triangles, which we must assiduously promote, because he says it's a work that must go on. And finally, you know, the Buddhas of activity and Sanat Kumara, they are involved in this because the triangles work really is rooted, as far as our planet is concerned, in Shambhala. So think about your little triangle network. And in general, you know, we're not going to name all those triangles right now, but in general, send goodwill and love and light. Goodwill and love, basically the same. One derives from the other. Goodwill is really the blend of the second and third ray. But then so is light. Send out goodwill, love, light to the people you are working with, your whole network. And later you can be specific as you name them. And it's as if the Christ is in the center of every triangle, that great supportive presence. And it will make a difference, actually, in your triangle, I do think, to at least now and then visualize the Christ at the center of every triangle that you're working with. And we'll raise it up to the whole network, covering the many states, countries, continents, nations, continents, triangles, uniting the many in a form that the soul can penetrate. It's a lot harder for the soul to work through squares than triangles. And we take it up to the Buddhas of activity, really a preeminent triangle in Shambhala, with Sanat Kumara at the center. And part of his program to render the planet sacred. That's what we're really doing. We're helping to render the planet sacred. however long it takes. And so what we'll do is, you know, we'll keep a generic focus. We're not looking at every little triangle that we're involved with, but we'll keep a generic focus. And together we'll say the great invocation. But keep yourself on self-mute, because otherwise the time lag is, you know, it's disturbing. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. And of course, through all of our triangles. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. And here's that feeling of active goodwill. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. And one day we'll be able to work through the will to good triangles. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, so thank you. That's our little makeup for this morning. But, you know, as you go through your life, look for the substratum, because it's all the same. You know, the Greek philosophers always searched either for other or for same. And one day it'll be possible to see other while seeing same and being same. And, you know, the next frontier here is the etheric realm. And our work is to go from the squares of the non-sacred planets, etheric squares, into the triangles of the sacred planets. So, you know, while you're doing things, keep some of these subjective tasks ready. Because you can do a lot of things and work subjectively at the same time. The initiate is distinguished by the ability to do and meditate upon a number of things at the same time. And thus we continue our inner work with his work that must go on, as DK says, must go on. Now, in about an hour, a little less, we'll be doing our sacred pentagram meditation, and that's, I think it's somewhere here. I think you know what it is. It's the YouTube live link. That's it right there. It ends with the word live or live. So just copy that down if you don't have it. And it's in the chat box. And maybe we'll see some of you there as we continue to work with the energies of the full moon in Cancer. You know, according to the Sabian symbol, the ship has changed flags right at this point. Well, actually, it changed flags at the Cancer solstice, but the full moon kind of emphasizes that. And now we have a lot of light in the north anyway, and we're heading into the lower interlude, and it will be climaxing at the time of the new group of World Service Festival Week, from the 21st to the 28th of December, during which time we have a very potent new moon. And the new moon, I always think of it as the Shambhala moon, you know, it astrologically it works out as a real potency. Sometimes I think new moon, potency, first ray, full moon, consciousness, second ray. So, okay, we'll keep going, and tomorrow is our work with the return of the Christ, reappearance of the Christ. Then in the morning on Friday, we will have the dissipating glamour of meditation. Tui will be out of range of some of the broadcasting. We'll see what she can do, I hope, quite a bit. Otherwise, I'll be having to do that, and I'm not as good when it comes to handling all the music and everything. But anyway, we'll make sure that the broadcasts continue, except when we're both traveling, and then we'll let you know. So thank you for attending. And in another 45 minutes or so, a little less, 50 minutes, we'll be working with the sacred pentagram work. Okay, lots of love, many blessings, and we'll see you before long.